There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Arab World, discovering the region's best stories.
We're staying in the UAE again today because so much has happened here that's book relevant lately. So with us in the studio we have Flora Rees, who's Head of Education, Training and Publishing at the Emirates Literature Foundation. I only got it wrong once out of maybe 30 times. And then we have Rania Abdul-Rahman as well, who's the Programme Manager for Publishing and Training. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
I hope you're having a lovely morning. There's quite a few things that we need to talk about. First of all, I want you to put your education hat on, Flora. So can you give us a little bit of an update on what's happening with the education team?
Absolutely, Annabelle. I've been on a lot talking about publishing and writing recently, but we have an amazing education team at the Emirates Literature Foundation. And I just wanted to send out a little bit about the time that we've had at the Literature Foundation, the Literature Festival this year. We've had an absolutely amazing time with the students from schools across the country coming in and joining us for the festival. And really, we've had competitions, we've had author sessions, we've had author visits to schools and universities, poetry performance, storytelling and art competitions. And overall, we've reached around 28,000 students, so we're absolutely thrilled with those numbers.
How many?
About 28,000 students across.
That's amazing.
Across the country. And really what I want to say particularly is just a huge thank you to all the students, the teachers, the librarians, the schools, the universities and the authors who got involved with us with such enthusiasm. So if you came to a session and saw an author at the festival or at your school, do get in touch, let us know what you thought. And if you're a school or university that's not in touch with us yet, send us a text and we will be in contact.
While we're keeping everything local, there's something that I'd like to mention as well. So the old library. The old library is moving from duck tack because the area is being redeveloped. Now, this might be something that a lot of you already know, but I'm mentioning it in case you don't. It's a volunteer-run community library. It's operated in Dubai since 1969. When I first moved here, it was a place of comfort, a place of solace. I went there to do my studying because I was doing distance learning. It kept me sane. So this is quite sad. It's had several homes since. The last one was obviously duck tack, and they are looking for a new home. So if you're listening, as a community volunteer library, they can't afford to pay commercial rental rates whilst at the same time keep their membership fee as low as they have always done. So they're depending on the kindness and support of people that believe in the value of reading and libraries to help them find a suitable home. 4001, also I'm sure you can get in touch with the old library on Facebook as well if you can help with this. So they're temporarily closing the library at the end of this month while they continue to look for another space to move into. So if you know of any way that you can help them, if you know somewhere that they could move into, practical help, that they're going to be in their present location until June while they pack everything up. But they need somewhere where that they can house their extensive collection of books and that they can operate as their library. They'd love to hear from you if you can help them. Libraries are incredibly important, so if you do know of anybody who can help them, please get in touch.
Absolutely agreed, and they run fantastic mother and toddler, or parent and toddler book groups, and the resources they've got there have been amazing. We used them a huge amount when we first moved to Dubai as well, so I hope we can find them a new home.
Me too. I get a bit emotional when I talk about libraries. They are very special places, and I think people don't give them enough credit, really. So, yeah.
And I just want to add, because I volunteered there for a year, that one of the amazing things is that it's 100% volunteer run, and it runs so brilliantly. I mean, you'd never guess by how efficient everything runs that everyone there is a volunteer.
Absolutely. I was completely shocked when I'd been going there for a couple of months back when I first moved here, and I couldn't believe that it was entirely volunteer run. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up as well. So we're going to move on to publishing. Remember, 4001 if you have any information about that. The old library is on Facebook, and you can get in touch with them there as well. So publishing, I'm going to ask you to put your publishing hat on, Flora.
Brilliant.
Because recently the Abu Dhabi Book Fair took place, and there were a lot of discussions and workshops and panels that took place. First of all, general feel from the event.
Oh, we really enjoyed it. It's a huge meeting place for publishers and writers, and it gets a lot of sales for publishers' books. People come from all across the region and internationally selling books, as well as making new deals and finding out about what's happening in the industry. There's lots of discussion around your trends and successes and the current challenges of the publishing world, and that's what we're really interested in.
Yes, and we went to some really interesting talks, didn't we?
Yeah, they bring a lot of speakers from the publishers who are taking part in the fair. there, and also other people brought in specifically, I think, to give the talk. So literary agents, other literature festival representatives, publishers, editors, and some authors also in the, well, a lot of authors in the cultural corner. We were mainly focused on the publishing corner.
Yes.
One of the things that really captured my imagination when you were telling me a little bit about this off air was Wattpad. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because that's, as I understand it, it's a self-publishing platform that's really taking off.
They put it beautifully, I thought, as YouTube for long-form written content.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah, yes. That's a great way of putting it. So what's the future of that, particularly in this region, or was it a more international focus, the conversation?
Well, there was an international focus, but if you want to just jump in and talk about Arabic, Kelly Steen said that it was one of their fastest growing languages, but it hasn't yet reached the top 10 in terms of content. So I think that it's a space to watch for Arabic content.
They have currently 65 million users worldwide writing in 50 different languages. And the main point of it is it's a sort of social writing experiment that has proved to be very successful. And it has both fan fiction, unpublished writers and established writers all taking part. So when you log in, you have a vast array of content to choose from, different material. And it's done on a kind of a voting system and a number system. So they're looking around you at both how many people read the pieces, how long they spend reading them, to say whether they're, I think the word is sticky, if they're sticky pieces.
Yes, and also they pay very close attention to user feedback. So people get to put comments in the margins, and then they pull out the numbers to see which characters are working well, which aren't, what people want to happen next. So it's almost like crowdsourcing editing.
Mm.
So you don't have to have a completely finished manuscript. You're putting something that you're working on to get feedback from a whole bunch of, from a whole community.
Exactly. People put chapters up and then they take user feedback as they continue.
And is it an app or is it also online or is it both? Or
it's both.
Okay.
It's both.
So you can really be reading on your phone and putting in notes on people's work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Mm. And what's happening is that the really good stuff is sort of bubbling up towards the top, so they're spotting it in the different ways. And what was clear from Kelly Steen, who works for Wattpad, they're based in Canada, was talking about how they're finding talent. So they're actually starting to develop kind of talent scouting groups within the organisation. They're looking at content that works well, that can be packaged and showed to publishers, and also for film. So they've got writers who are coming through and becoming published writers and becoming writers taken on by studios.
Just yesterday, Sony acquired a fantasy series from Wattpad. It's called Death is My Best Friend Forever, and they're turning it into a series. But this is not unusual. I think that it's happened before, that they've had content go directly to media and others to traditional publishers.
So what they were saying is there's a huge amount of teenage writers. There's a lot of sort of fan fiction and the kind of stuff that you get a lot of writing on, some of which is very good, some of which not so much. They're working on algorithms to try and direct people more closely to what they will find interesting. I mean, I logged on, and as a woman in my 40s, I was sort of immediately, the stuff that popped up was mostly romance, a bit of horror, a bit of vampire stuff. I read a lot more widely than that. But you can see they'll very quickly, by your tastes, start to direct you towards what you want, which is both a blessing and in some ways potentially means you won't spot stuff you didn't know you were going to like. But it's a very interesting way of bringing you to new writers.
Because that was going to be my first question when you were talking about this, because a lot of the people who would be reading all of this content and also producing the content would be, there's a lot of YA fan fiction on there as well, and a lot of YA fiction. And I just wondered, going into it, exactly how that would work, how you would find, or how pieces that weren't in that genre would make their way to the top if they weren't being seen.
I think a lot of, yes, I think that's true, but I think a lot of their attitude is good writing will come through, and
right,
people will find it, and it will become sticky. I know I went on, I was sort of vaguely having a look. I kind of love post-apocalyptic stuff. There was a cover that was quite interesting, and I found it out half an hour later I was still reading it. So yeah, there's obviously, it grabs you in, and it does give you a chance to try different things and look at what's out there, what's fresh. I thought it was fascinating that there was a talk between Kelly Steen and Sarah Sargent, who works for HarperCollins Children's, particularly in YA, well, picture books up to YA. And so they were talking about publishing in the children's market at the moment, and Wattpad is clearly something that is going to be bringing forward a lot of new content to the publishers.
And Sarah made a very interesting comment about YA, saying that YA, you can't have as many genres in YA at any particular point in time as you can in adult literature. You have to focus on trends. So they were really interested in finding out what those trends were from Wattpad.
Which shows you what's coming up as opposed to what's already, given that it takes 6 to 9 months to a year for a new book to come out. If you're jumping on a trend that's already happening by the time you get the book out, it might already have gone. Mm.
So do you think something like Wattpad is also breaking down that traditional system of how writers tend to get their work published, as opposed to trying to find an agent and then the agent gets you a publisher and editor? It's a great way for you to maybe not go through that route?
Yes, I think it ties in a lot to the sort of self-publishing trend that we've seen in the last decade. And I think it will, people will get the kind of feedback that they need in order to move forward if they want to publish on their own. And also, people who just want to write and be read and actually don't need to take it any further have a really great platform to do that as well. It sounds like Wattpad are recognizing the potential for helping publishers find new content, but I think it's likewise effective, as you're saying.
Well, as a writer as well, if you're going on there to post something or a manuscript or a couple of chapters, how much work do you have to do in terms of quote-unquote marketing that piece on the website? Or is that you just sort of put it in there and just see what happens? Or are you expected to, I don't know, use hashtags or share it on social media? Do you guys know?
That's a really good question. Actually, we haven't got that far yet. Mm. We were talking more about the kind of outcomes rather than the inputting. Mm.
Although I have seen that they're all tagged. So right. I'm sure that you'd need to maybe look into the tags and make sure you tag it properly. Mm. But we would need to look into it more.
It did sound from what Son and Kelly said was that they can tweak tags to make it more effective to reach the market that they think it needs to go to. And that, I think there was something like you get it tweaked right and you get up to 1 million hits.
I want to just remind you of something that I asked you earlier on in the show. So I read out Alec Guinness' rather unimpressed reaction to being cast in the Star Wars franchise and how he was slogging his way through the filming and not remembering the name of any of the actors that he worked with. Tennyson Ford? Harrison Ford? He wasn't 100% sure. And then it got me thinking about letters, and I just wondered when the last time was that you sent or received a handwritten letter. We're always texting and emailing now, and I just wondered when the last time it was that you received or sent one. So I asked this question, and I've got a few messages come through. So Chris says, I sent a thank you letter last week. I don't know about you guys, I send thank you notes quite regularly.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
I got my children to do it for their birthday presents.
Daisy says, I wrote a letter last week to my new grandson to be opened on his 18th birthday. In it, I told him what we were all up to the day he arrived, the weather, what people said to us in the hospital, and how excited we all were to meet him. I think that's wonderful.
Amazing. I really like that. That's fantastic.
That's a lovely idea. Somebody says bills. But handwritten letter, Mohammed says, last handwritten letter I sent was probably when I was in grade 3 or something. I sent it to a children's TV show I used to watch on Channel 33, not realizing at the time that most of what was on Channel 33 was about 10 years old. So I never got anything back, and it scarred me for life and put me off writing letters forever, which is quite sad. Mm. And Paul says, I write a short letter note every morning for his wife to open with her sandwich at work. And I think that's absolutely lovely. And Tim says he sends handwritten letters to his mother. She doesn't text, WhatsApp or email, and a phone call just doesn't hack it. So there you go. Keep those coming in, 4001 if you have more. In the meantime, it's back to this.
Arab World, discovering the region's best stories.
So we're looking at publishing stories and book news and industry news that's come out of the Abu Dhabi Book Fair. And we were just talking about Wattpad, which is a self-publishing platform that's really taking off. And Arabic is becoming more and more popular, isn't it? One thing that you were saying off air was what it takes for a language to kind of become popular. Can you take us through that?
Well, Kelly from Wattpad mentioned that it just takes one very popular piece in a language to make it kick off, because people start writing more in that language. And Arabic, as we mentioned before, is one of the very fast-growing languages. But I think, Flora, you were saying that Spanish is the set to overtake English soon. It's growing really fast.
Yeah, she said within the next couple of years, the number of users writing in Spanish will be greater.
That's really interesting. One thing that I wonder about Wattpad, though, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on, is if there's somebody listening to the show and they're thinking, great, I want to publish something, how do you balance between deciding whether to just put something up on Wattpad or to go the traditional publishing route?
I don't see any reason you can't do both. I mean, Wattpad seems to be a great place where you can test out your writing on readers, which is something, you know, a long time I think writers write a little bit in isolation with writers groups and a little bit of feedback. If you're confident enough and brave enough to put it out there, I think this is a great way to get feedback on what readers actually like within your work. And I think it seems that people sometimes write a chapter at a time or sometimes put the whole thing up. Then you would have a piece ready to send off to publishers as well. I don't think it would put any publishers off if you've published on Wattpad.
And I think for any writers out there, sometimes getting something published isn't the immediate goal. It's important because, mm-hmm. you know, writing is a very solitary thing and you need to get that feedback. So sometimes thinking about the end goal being, let me get feedback and see how I can make my manuscript even better. So I think Wattpad might be actually a great way to do that.
I think so. And also what we've always sort of said to writers is you've got to love writing. Writing just with the aim of becoming a published author is mm-hmm. often not going to be an effective path to it. If you don't actually enjoy it, is it really what you want to be spending so much time doing?
I like that though. I like the fact that I asked, is it, do we go with this or go with that? And you said both. That's always my favourite answer to an either or question. Just choose both things. So there you go. So moving on from Wattpad now, I know that you have something about editing in the region that you want to share with us, because that's the subject that came up, obviously, at Abu Dhabi Book Fair.
It did. I was on a panel actually at the Book Fair talking about editing in general and editing in the Arab world. And it's a really interesting topic to discuss because I come from a background where the traditional Western publishing background, where you train as an editor or assistant under an editor at publish, and you, in a publishing company, you gradually hone your skills, develop it. And those who really love it and really stick with it will, you know, sort of move up as editors and start commissioning books. It seems, and we've talked to a lot of publishers, haven't we, around here in the last couple of years, about where things are with editorial in the Arab world. And it's very difficult to generalise. It's a big, big market. There's a lot of publishers doing different things. But in general, there do seem to be far fewer editors doing the type of developmental and structural editing that I personally regard as crucial to developing a book and to developing a writer and a writer's career. So obviously there are publishers who are doing it and doing it brilliant in Arabic. But from the number that we've spoken to, it seems to be somewhere there's a lack of skills.
I think definitely there's a lack of skills. And also when you mention editing in Arabic, people automatically think about copy editing. They think about language correction.
Proofreading.
Proofreading. But structural editing is something that is the concept isn't as widespread and standardized as it is in for English.
And perhaps the value of what a good structural editor can add hasn't yet been so understood as an essential part of the publishing process. And a lot of publishers are very small units, you know, margins are incredibly tight, some print runs are only 100 to 300 copies, so you can see where the difficulty comes in adding all these extra elements to a publishing process. But we're finding it very, very interesting to talk to publishers about what they do, how they do it, where they find their editors, and where the next generation of editors is going to come from here in the Arab world.
I think it's so crucial what you guys are talking about right now. As somebody who reads both Arabic and English my whole life, I've seen such a huge, what's the right word, you know, gap between Arab fiction and English fiction when it comes to this specific issue. And I think specifically in the Arab world, there is this stigma, quote unquote, or this misunderstanding about what an editor does and what an editor should do. And I think with a lot of Arab writers in fiction, they don't even understand yet, I think, the value in having somebody read their work from an objective point of view and telling them, well, this is interesting, this is good, but maybe fix this up better. There's a disconnect between the writer and the reader in Arabic. And I think it's so important to find ways to utilize and to develop these editors.
Well, man, I was talking to an editor from AUC Press, and he told me that a lot of Arabic writers they work with only get edited when they're translated.
Exactly.
And they say, you know, we wish we had this kind of support when we were publishing the original book.
Mm-hmm. But yes, and in the panel that we were discussing, it was a really interesting topic, actually. I very much enjoyed it. And the question came up of, will authors accept being edited? And the point I made was that it's about how you explain what you're trying to do. You're never saying, oh, I don't like your book, I'm going to come in and make these changes. It's about, look, your book is great, these things are fantastic about it, but have you thought about this, 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 and this? If you look at how this character could be tweaked, or how this plot element could change, or maybe this whole chapter, wonderful as it is, doesn't move the narrative along, perhaps we should think about cutting that bit down. And I think that that's the sort of discussion that perhaps is lacking, to show that editors aren't fiddling, we're not meddling with the books, we're simply there to get the best possible book out of the writer that we can do.
And the fact that being an editor is also, it's like a translator, it's an art.
Yeah.
it's a it's a way for you to make your manuscript the best it can be, so that you know when it's on that bookshelf, it's gone through more than one person for it to be, you know, mm-hmm. the best it can be. And I think that's something that's also lost.
Absolutely right. And that's what you mentioned was the objective. It's an objective eye.
Yeah.
And the editor's not necessarily a writer. I mean, a lot of writers are also editors, or editors are also writers. But that's put entirely aside. An editor is just looking at this one book. And it's a really, really enjoyable relationship when you work with an author that you get on with. And the ideas that come up and the way that the book becomes alive. I mean, you're talking about the characters of the real people. You say, no, but I just don't think he would do that. Mm. You know, what about, you know, is this really in character? Would this be how his outlook, his reach would work? So I just think that it's a shame that isn't there as a fundamental part. And I think we're talking about it now will hopefully make a difference.
And I wanted to add that we've seen some very good Arabic editing as well. So it is happening. I mean, at the festival this year, we had a workshop on Arabic editing, and the person who was giving it has the exact same type of role that Flora was talking about on the Arabic side. And he was talking about how you have to become the author's best friend while you're editing the book, because you need to be able to have these kinds of conversations and diplomatically make the changes or suggest the changes that you think need to happen.
And I think all of us have read English books that are great, but they've just been badly edited. And I think you can really see the examples of that if you read a series of books from a series. For example, I always use the Harry Potter example, but the thicker book, the Order of the Phoenix, book 5, I think it was one of the worst edited from the series. And I think J.K. Rowling even admitted
Hold up.
That. I think she even admitted that that book was rushed and it's the thicker book. And I think, I can't remember what the issue was with the editor. Maybe they had changed editors, but it was not the best edited
there
book.
There were no issues, ma'am. There were no issues with that.
So
book.
I think the value of an editor is important to note.
I think that's absolutely true. We were looking at also, there was a very interesting day spent talking about the challenges in the publishing industry, and the topic was raised again there. It was a whole book forum just about how we're going to overcome those. So it's great that it's being talked about, and hopefully this will kickstart the kind of conversation on developing editors.
Flora Rennie, thank you so much. If you were just listening to that, then that was Flora Rees, Head of Education, Training and Publishing at the Emirates Literature Foundation, and Rania Abdulrahman, who is the Programme Manager for Publishing and Training, also at the Emirates Literature Foundation.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.